When banking starts to feel less personal, you know where to find us. Community Bank. Deep roots. Local people. Personal banking. Visit communitybank.net. Member FDIC.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on this show are not the opinions of TeleSouth Communications, its management, or advertisers.
Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Supertalk Hattiesburg 97.3, putting a spotlight on homegrown Mississippi-based businesses, made in Mississippi products, and their impact on your community and the Magnolia State. Now, your hosts, Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner.
Good evening and welcome to the Shop Local Mississippi Show with myself, Melissa Socher, and Mr. Kelly Sanner. We hope your new year is going off great and with a bang. I know I started out with a root canal yesterday, Kelly, so happy new year to me.
Oh, wow. What a way to go, huh?
But we missed y'all. We missed y'all so much. We've been out for a couple weeks. ShopLocalMississippi.org. We would love to have you on our show. Send us an email, ShopLocalMS@Yahoo.com. Stay up with us on Facebook at simply Shop Local Mississippi. And of course, you can always find out what's going on with the show. Just go to Supertalk's Facebook page or supertalk.fm.
And you know, Melissa, over the holidays, I'm embarrassed to admit that I got pickled a couple times. But I only bring that up because it's such a good segue into our first guest today, who knows a little bit about pickling.
Do we want it? Gosh, this could go in so many different directions.
You're right. But I think the way you're thinking is the way that I was thinking. But now we're going to switch to a different kind of pickled, right?
Making vegetables. That's exactly what I was thinking, right? So speaking of which, we have Mr. James Stewart today. He is the owner of Occasion Pickle Company. And as most of you know, I have my hands deep into the Mickles Pickles Company, but this is a Cajun pickle company. I believe are you based on the coast, Mr. Stewart?
Yes, I'm in Goshen, Mississippi.
Tell us a little bit about your business, how it evolved, and how you got into pickling.
Well, it started because I grew a garden my whole life, and I grew so much, you know, you just have to give it away or throw it away. Well, I started making a pickle one time, and then I brought some to work, and everybody was like, you need to make these hot, because they were like, I put a pepper in them.
Right.
And they were like, make them hotter. So I started making them hotter. And then I worked at the Isle of Capri Casino at the time, and my cocktail waitresses were like, they were buying them like crazy. And then you know, you make stuff, and people tell you to sell it. You need to go sell this.
Right.
So I loaded like six cases in my car, and I went to three stores, and I done a sales pitch, and they bought it. And I looked at my wife. I said, if I could sell to these three, I could sell to 300. And that started my business.
That is so cool. You know, sometimes God just kind of picks you up in one place and drops you off in another, and it is in no way what you expected. So you started out, were you bartending at the Isle of Capri or working in the restaurant?
I was a bartender.
So
I would push my product being a bartender.
So you know all of the cocktails and fancy drinks that actually use pickles and pickled products, I assume.
Yeah, yes.
Were you in charge of making some of those tower, tall, fancy Bloody Marys? Did you do some of those?
Yes, I was. Well, the Isle of Capri wouldn't let me put my product in them, but I would sell to bars that did do that.
Right, and you know, those can be a full meal sometimes. I've seen some that are just like,
oh, yeah.
Melissa, I'm impressed that you, the Bloody Mary, you know, the whole, the jargon and the lingo and all that.
Yeah.
Good for you.
You know, nowadays, a Bloody Mary for me is just the good old V8 juice from the corner market.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit later. I can tell you how to change that taste a little bit. But at any rate, James, when you're growing cucumbers, obviously in this case, they can't be too big to make pickles. So how did you determine when is the right time to stop the growing process, pick them, and make them then pickles?
They have to be perfect, like 4-inch sizes, and they have to be pickling cucumbers, the gherkin kind, I think they call them.
Okay.
Right.
No, Kirby cucumbers, that's what they're called.
I've never heard of that.
So
they have to be like 3 or 4 inches long, so you know you can't have them too long; they'll be too tough.
So, what is a gherkin?
It's gherkin.
Gherkin. What is a gherkin?
A gherkin is a baby pickle.
A baby pickle. Okay.
It's just only like an inch long.
So initially when you were doing your garden, though, you were just doing regular cucumbers and then decided to switch it up? Or how did you make that transition?
I just started pickling them.
Okay. Just the regular cucumbers you did?
No, you can't do regular cucumbers.
Gotcha.
You got to have the pickling cucumbers, the Kirby's.
The Kirby's.
Okay.
So, I just learned something. I didn't know there was a such
thing. And we always grew those.
Yeah, but it's one thing, you know, when you're working for somebody, so to speak, and in your case, the casino, and then the responsibility, the financial responsibility is on them. You work and they pay you. When you decide to go out on your own, it's all you, buddy. So let's talk about that process of cutting the ties with that quote-unquote regular paycheck to decide you're going to work for yourself and how you made that transition.
Well, I had the gift of gab, and I like I said, I sold to the three stores, and you know, I've been in retail my whole life, and then they laid me off, and I decided, well, this is my break to try it. So I took my jars and I just started going to store and picking up more. And then when I'd go sell, like if I had to go to Jackson and sell pickles, I'd sell there, and then try to pick up more stores, and then I'd just go on. The next store.
But there's only so many hours in a day. You have to grow them, you have to pickle them, you have to transport
them. I don't grow them no more. I've gotten okay. So big, I buy all my produce from Four Seasons Produce in Moss Point.
Nice.
So they keep me supplied all year round. I don't have to grow it anymore. But I still have my little garden that I grow my home, you know, stuff in for me.
So marketing, too, is coming up with a name and deciding, you know, how did you come about the Cajun Pickle Company?
Oh, that's a good one. We would go sell at markets, and they were called Stewart's Hot Pickles at the start because we had hot on the label. And people would walk up and say, oh, I can't do hot. I can't eat hot. Hot's not good. So I looked at my wife and I said, we need to change this to Cajun. And so I changed it to Cajun, and then that's it. That's how it started.
Are there like jalapenos or just seasonings? Are there any other vegetables
in there? I put a slice of habanero in every jar.
Oh!
And then they were people calling me and telling me they were too hot, you know, on the internet, on the, Facebook.
Right.
So I took out the hot pepper and just put in more little spices and done my own little secret things to it, and you know, put more of my own heat in it without the pepper. So now it doesn't have a pepper. It's just a nice, happy Cajun spice taste, and to the palates where it pleases everybody.
So like a lot of other businesses, a lot of trial and error. Some things work, some things don't.
I was making the pickles, and I sent my wife to the store to get more spices. So she comes back with the wrong spices that I told her to get. So I'm like, okay, let's just make a pickle and see what happens here. So we used her spices that she brought and made a pickle, and my kids were like 7 years old at the time. We sat down at the table and opened up the two jars, one of my old pickle and one of the new spices. And the new pickle recipe with the mistake spices you brought me was a better pickle. So I was like, oh, there's our new recipe right there.
That is a great story. And I'm sure doing what you do as an Andy Griffith Show fan, you know, one of the biggest episodes that's talked about is Aunt B's pickled pickles that were, you know, at the fair, and they didn't like them, but the guys would say that they liked them, and so she kept making them, and they had to eat them up. You've seen that episode, I'm sure, James, yeah?
I have not, but I would like to see it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how people will say, but obviously by the success of the sales of yours, people do like these pickles. So can you get too big, James, from where you are now? How big do you want the company to be?
Well, I'm sort of to the age I'm trying to retire. I split the business with my daughter. I gave her half of all my stores. And so she's a pickle maker too now. So, and I just give her like half of everything I do, and I'm slowing down. As far as big as I want to be, I used to dream big a lot in the olden times, but
yeah.
Now it's just like just trying to make a living.
It is interesting kind of how that works, isn't it?
I wanted to be in every, I pictured myself in Mack trucks going down the road, you know, like, oh, yeah. But that Mack truck went to just a trailer.
Yeah, and, you know, the doing the making, the delivering, do you do shipping?
I don't. I just make it and deliver it all myself.
Right. See, that's a full.
Well, I have distributors that I know that they buy it from.
Good.
I have distributors
Good.
That buy it, and then they distribute it for me.
Good.
I have like 3 different distributors.
So the stores that you sell to, can you release it? Can you tell us the names of some of those stores where we can find your pickles?
Oh, I'm in all the Rouses. I'm out of Baton Rouge. I got a distributor that sells, but they won't tell me what all the stores I'm in. So anybody that has the AG, Associated Grocery Delivery Trucks,
right.
I'm in their stores.
And I know that was a ton of paperwork to get in with AG, is what I've heard.
Actually, I went and did an interview and brought them a jar of pickles, and they took them.
Awesome. Well, gosh, they must be real. My mouth is watering right now.
Well, and there's a Rouse's coming or to Hattiesburg, if not already up and running in one of the Winn-Dixie locations. So Hattiesburg, Mississippi, having its first Rouse's. We'll continue our discussion with James Stewart on the other side of the break, the founder of the Cajun Pickle Company, something that seems really simple, and look at how it's gone with a little hard work and dedication. James Stewart on the other side of the commercial break. This is Shop Local Mississippi.
You're tuned in to Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
A little later in the program, we're going to talk to Brandon Roberts, who is the founder of Ace Cheer in the Hattiesburg location. Boy, competitive sports, Melissa. I know your kids are playing baseball and basketball, a lot of other different things. Competitive cheer and tumbling and things for the girls. It's really gotten big.
It is a thing. It is a big thing.
And Brandon Roberts has a gym in Hattiesburg that he started when he was like super young. It's unbelievable, his story, and then how it has grown, which is what this show is all about. Somebody with an idea, taking an idea, running with it, and come hell or high water, it works for them lots of times.
That's right. And we're bringing back James Stewart that has Cajun Pickle Company based out of the coast. And this being the Shop Local Mississippi show, I think it's really cool that Mr. Stewart said that he sources his cucumber pickles from Four Seasons Market in Moss Point. They obviously source it locally in Mississippi, and then they source it to him. So that's like a three-way Shop Local Mississippi.
A win-win-win.
Yes, little scenario they've got going on there. So, you know, Keith and I, with our Keith Superstores, we try our best to do the same thing. We source from Mississippi, and we try to use all Mississippi vendors that we can. And a lot of the times, those vendors, they're sourcing from Mississippi growers, other Mississippi business owners. So it just trickles on down the line, and that's just so great for our economy, James. I just want to commend you for that, for shopping local first. And speaking of, how has Mississippi embraced your business? And if you could have your business in any other state, why Mississippi?
Well, that's a good one. Well, how's they embraced it? Well, the first stores I went to sort of like took it. People that I know and people that know me sort of like do a lot of the promotion of my product too, self-promoting, you know, word of mouth, in other words, because I don't do any advertising or anything like that. I don't have banners or posters on the side of the interstate. It's just word of mouth, how good the product is, and it sells itself.
Then do you?
And we love Mississippi.
Are there different?
I've been living in here since 1975.
Are there different flavors, James, that you have?
No, we have pickles, okra, beans, and then a mixed jar that has all the product in it.
Oh,
and they're all Cajun. Wow. I only do Cajun dill pickles. People ask me if I do sweet pickles, and I'm like, nope. I'm just sticking with the Cajun. Don't need to change any recipes.
And that's where sometimes I think business owners get into trouble. is that they're successful at what they're doing, but because they have that entrepreneurial spirit, they'll go, well, let's branch off here and let's do this. And sometimes that's a mistake. But how, when you come upon a decision, James, how do you process it? What is your thought process, and how clearly are you told, yes, let's do this, no, we're not going to do this?
I don't understand what you mean. Well, all my jars, they're handmade. Everything gets cut by hand, put in a jar by hand, and processed by hand. Everything is where there's no machines, no factory, just little kitchens in the back with lots of workers.
Yeah,
well, my wife and I mainly.
Well, and when you decided to do this, we're going to go back and touch upon this. Whenever you're not used to doing something and you took this idea and ran with it, what was the family's reaction? Did they say, you are nuts? This is stupid. We're
not
gonna do this.
I was told, how can you make a living selling pickles? I was like, well, if I could sell $300 worth, then why can't I go try to find $3,000 worth? And so I just went and picked up more stores. I would go pick up a store, and then somebody would tell me no. I'm like, you know, and you get your feelings hurt. People say, no, I don't want it. Well, my attitude was, who anybody told me no, I just go find three people that tell me yes. And so that's how it worked.
It's just a numbers game, isn't it, Melissa?
It is. James, my dad was always in sales, and he always told me that if somebody said no at the front door, or if they were less than nice to you, you just go around to the back door and knock and say, well, I just wanted to see if the person at the back door was nicer than the person at the front door.
Nice.
Well, let me tell you this one. I'm in Central Grocery down there in downtown New Orleans in the French Quarter. And the way I picked them up, I went by, I did a sales pitch, and they were like, no, there's too much stuff in the store, I can't fit you in here. And me not knowing how to take no for an answer, the next year I went back and did another sales pitch. And he looked at me and goes, be here at 9 in the morning.
You showed persistence. We like
so
that.
So the next day when 9 in the morning came, I was there at 8:45 at his front door, and I've been there in his store for like 15 years now.
Was the original recipe... And I always think of a fried chicken place when I hear the term original recipe. But your original recipe, James, has it evolved over time, or has it always been this taste from the get-go?
It's been pretty much this taste for a long time. Since I took the pepper out. But the rest of it is just the same recipe over and over and over and over repetitively.
And that's one thing I know, being in the jarring business myself, that's one thing that you have to keep a hand and an eye on as the owner is, you know, when you hire, say, young people, you know, sometimes they accidentally do the wrong recipe, or sometimes they just, since it's not their business, you know, they just kind of mess it up, and that goes to the shelf, and that goes to another shelf, and before you know it, you've got a huge problem on your hand.
And the fact that your name is on these...
That's right.
On these...
Yeah.
That's right. So sticking to the recipe is so important, and like James said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And James, you've got your daughter on board now, but what, as you want to kind of cut back a little bit and slowly retire, what if your daughter had not said that she wanted to be involved? Did you think about what would happen at that point?
I would have probably still be working my butt off every day.
Driving the Mack truck.
Working a lot more. Not like I used to do in the old days. Pound the pavement a lot more.
James, when you go to a small business, and when I say small business, I mean, it can be a small store chain, but when they're locally owned in Mississippi, what is the difference between that and trying to get into a big box store? What do you face when you try to go through that process?
Well, if I'm in right now, I'll be in the Keith Superstore. I'll go in and do a sales pitch. Look, I'm in the store. I'm in Keith. I'll just tell them who I'm at and where I'm at and how many people, you know, like how many, like doing the Rouses. I would do, like, go down and do a sales pitch on a seafood market, and Rouses are around the corner. I'm like, oh, I've been in Rouses for 10 years. And like, oh, okay, I got you. And you know, just tell them a little bit about me and where I'm from and how many other people are selling it.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of people that would like to purchase, say, James's product or other local made jarred vegetables, and they get very frustrated because they can't find it in the Walmart or the Target or, you know, like a big box store. Yeah. And they come back and, you know, they want to fuss at the maker. And, you just want to tell them it's not my fault, you know, that I'm not in that store. James, if you ever got approached by a big box chain, how would that look to you?
Well, I got in Rouse's. I was in Winn-Dixie's, but all the Winn-Dixie's are closing now.
All right.
So, I mean, and they all approached me. They gave me I didn't go to Winn-Dixie and do my sales pitch. They called me because, you know, like y'all are doing, trying to get the local people. That's a big thing. So they would call me. Rouse's called me, you know, said they want my product.
But if people don't have access to it, James Stewart, do you guys have like a website where people can order online and ship it and all those sorts of things?
I have a man out of Alabama. It's called PickleStore.com, and he sells on the internet for me.
Is he just anything and everything pickles, or just your product?
He does a little bit of everything. He's got pickled pig feet and all that stuff, and eggs and sausage and stuff. But he sells my product on the internet too. It's called thepicklestore.com.
I guess in the go ahead. I'm sorry, Mr. Stewart.
I used to ship, but I had a lady, like, you know, people call me from Indiana and Kansas and Washington. Well, one lady called me from Washington State one time. So I said, yeah, I can mail you a jar. Well, it cost me like $20 to mail this jar, and I told my wife I'm not mailing any.
Three times
jar.
The cost of the jar. Yeah, we so run into just, that too. So if somebody wanted some shipped, what would be a good minimum quantity? A half a dozen? A dozen?
I don't ship. I just tell them to call pickstore.com.
I got you. And they ship for you.
Let them deal with it.
He's in the business of shipping, so he does it.
Well, your story, James Stewart, is what this program is all about. Somebody who invention of the mother of necessity or whatever. You were in a situation where you had to figure out something to do, and you took an idea, as crazy as some people might have thought it was, you've made it work, and that, sir, is what the entrepreneurial spirit is all about, and we congratulate you about the continued success of Cajun Pickles.
Well, you asked me earlier what got me started. What really did, when I did lose my job or got laid off,
yeah,
I loaded some cases in because we were talking about going to New Orleans. You know, New Orleans is the Cajun capital of
sure.
the world.
No.
And so I said, I want to go to New Orleans. So we loaded up like 14 cases in the car, and or 20 cases in the car, and I picked up 14 stores in one day.
Wow.
James, congratulations.
That's really what triggered the kickoff.
Congratulations, buddy. Continued success. Take care.
Are we done?
We are. We're done.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much. Cajun Pickles.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Now back to Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Brandon Roberts was supposed to join us on this segment of Shop Local Mississippi. Brandon Roberts, a young businessman in the Hattiesburg area who started Ace, I guess, cheer, which competitive cheer and dance and all that. And he's got, you know, gyms now all over the South. But his story is really interesting, particularly that he started the gyms at such a young age. Not available right now. We're going to reach out to him, get him back on the program. But actually, if something like that happens, there's a good time and a bad time. And if there was ever a good time, this is it, because with Mardi Gras season, Mardi Gras being so early this year on the calendar, our own Melissa Socher is instrumental in a lot of Mardi Gras activities around the area, including the parade. So let's talk a little bit about that while we've got you here. And I know you probably have a punch list of different things you want to talk about. So I just want to, and if something comes up, Melissa, I'll try to get in there, but tell us what's going on as you prepare for Mardi Gras.
So You know, Mardi Gras falls, Fat Tuesday is what we call it, and it falls on a different date every year. So today I'd like to go over the facts about Mardi Gras, how we plan the parade every year, and it is a year-long effort, and how the date and time comes about, because, you know, a lot of people get very frustrated. I know this year we had it set for one day and time, and then we had to change it and back it up a week. So just starting back at the beginning, okay? Keith and I always do things in the community, and if you notice, all of our donations giving has to do with children, right? And, you know, even before our triplets were born, but yet we had two 8-year-olds and a 12-year-old, and, of course, they love Mardi Gras, just like the rest of us. But like a lot of parents, you're just a little weary of taking them down to New Orleans, as fun as it looks. And hey, that's where it's at, you know, that and the Gulf Coast. And did you know that Mardi Gras actually originated in Mobile?
I actually did know that.
You did.
But
I don't think you did. I think you're just...
No, I really did, because I think in downtown Mobile, I think there's a plaque
right
on one of the signs that
that's
actually
right.
said, and that's where I read it.
That's right.
That's where I learned.
So Mobile, the Gulf Coast, New Orleans, right? There's nothing north of there to speak of, especially in Mississippi, where they do Mardi Gras. So you've got these people not only in the Hattiesburg area, but north of Hattiesburg, you know, Meridian, Jackson, Greenville, Vicksburg, Starkville, Oxford. To go to New Orleans is a hike for them, right? And especially if they've never been, again, they're weary. You know, and I'm sure all the hotels are booked up. I'm sure that it's elbow to elbow down there. I got in at one time going to pick my brother up. He got a quick leave when he was in the Marine Corps, and I went with my dad. I was little, and I remember sitting in the car, and the things I saw around me, my dad ended up just putting his hand over my face.
Yes.
And he was like, just close your eyes, because I said, why is there someone dancing on the car in front of us, and where are his clothes? And, you know, but, and they're not all like that.
Of
you know,
course.
A lot of the parades are family friendly in New Orleans, but again, you got to know where to go, when to be there, where to stand, what to do, what not to do down there.
And if you can find accommodations, you're going to pay a pretty penny.
That's right.
For those accommodations.
That's right. But for the ones that want to go to New Orleans, more power to you. The Gulf Coast, the Past Christiane Parade, I know for years that was the longest parade. And then you've got Mobile that celebrates big time. We've even been down to Gulf Shores during Mardi Gras before, and they celebrate as well, believe it or not. They have a parade right there along the beach.
That's the number one question that snowbirds ask when they come down from the north is, what is all this Mardi Gras
right.
stuff? What is Mardi Gras all about?
We don't
even know about it in the north.
And I learned one thing about snowbirds being down at the beach and during their time of the year is that some of them like kids, and some of them do not want to tolerate children at all. But I could go on and on different tree branches, but
right.
let's get back to Mardi Gras. So Keith and I wanted to bring Mardi Gras to Hattiesburg and surrounding towns and make it a completely family fun event. And every year we have to remind our participants and, you know, everybody that wants to come to the parade that this is not – adults have a great time. They do. But going back to the roots of the parade, this is for the children. A lot of children – and this really tugs on the heartstrings, but a lot of children would otherwise never, ever get to experience Mardi Gras. So that right there is the reason why we brought it to Hattiesburg. And at first, you know, going to the city with it, it was no, we are not, you know, doing that in Hattiesburg. And I think they were just thinking of all of the things that could go wrong. And there are a lot of things that could go wrong, you know. And especially now, you've got everything from terrorists to this to that, and they're looking for a place where people gather, you know.
And I think it's just easier for entities like that to say
right.
no.
Right. And you just think of a lot of nakedness and just
and,
all the things.
And there's extra work involved.
Right,
nobody
right.
wants to be have to do
but
more
I,
work.
I do not know of any other parades in all of those places we've talked about that are for the children. Like, it is just all about the kids. And I will tell somebody in a heartbeat, as long as this parade goes on, it is for the children.
So how did you pick out the name?
So we let all of our managers vote on names. So we let several of the managers vote on the ones that were top voted on. So there's like five or six names, and Kairos won. Kairos is, it goes back to Greek mythology, and it means the spirit of opportunity. And so if there was anything, a phrase that we just wanted to umbrella over our parade forevermore, it was the spirit of opportunity, to let these kids know that they can experience what everybody else experiences. And that coincides with you can be anything you want to be.
It makes perfect sense.
That's right. I'm never growing up, so I still haven't decided what I want to be when I grow up.
Me either. I have grown out.
But kids can be anything they want to be. And you and I were just having the conversation, you're never too old.
Right.
So skipping forward 15 years, we say the 15th annual, although there was one year that we did have a rain out, and it was highly suggested that we cancel the parade. So we did. But skipping forward, we look at Fat Tuesday every year when that falls, and we like to ask for that Saturday right before Fat Tuesday.
Sure.
Which this year it would have fallen on the 14th. So we went ahead and put it out there, the 14th.
Which is also Valentine's Day.
Yes, the city, meaning the police department and the city officials, absolutely decide the time. And what we do is just work back and forth with them until we can compromise on a good time. Now, that is working around USM Baseball, William Carey events.
Southern Miss Basketball, too.
Southern Miss Basketball, men's and women's.
Yes.
So on the 14th, and I want everybody to hear this, because the big question was, why did we change it the day after we had already posted it was the 14th? It's because we should have checked with them first. When you get into this well-oiled machine every year, you kind of forget some of the details, but we should have checked with USM first. We usually do. So they have not only a baseball game, I think it was like at noon, and then you got men's and women's basketball that day. So you think of all of that happening in a six-block radius and all those people coming in. The last thing you want to do is throw a parade and bring in 20,000 more people trying to park, trying to maneuver, trying to, with kids running around. And so safer and more timely was to back it up to the 7th. So that's what we did. And there were even more conflicts on the 7th, but we compromised on the 10 o'clock time. And a lot of people said, 10 o'clock, that's too early for us. We're not going to come. We encourage people to go to any parade. Just as long as your kids get to go and have fun, we don't care where you go. So if they'd rather go to another parade, we want them to do that. And there's also a lot of complaints because we don't do the walkers and the bands. All of the bands were asked for years. I think we might have had one band one year. The other times, and this is something else I want people to hear, some of these high school bands want you to pay for them to be in the parade. And Keith and I put on this parade for free for the children. We don't charge floats to enter the parade. And so there's no money to, pay. That's after we pay 60 of our employees for labor that whole day, and the city provides, police department, fire department, sheriff department, their maintenance team. You would not believe the work that the street sweepers that goes into this.
Right.
And also, over the years, the walkers, I can beg them. I can get in the street in front of their group and yell, scream, and cut flips, and they just, it's like I'm invisible. They're going to stop and perform. They are going to do it every year, and it holds up the floats, and then we get complaints from the crowd because the parade was not moving fluently, and then that puts the city behind on cleanup at least an hour when you have those walking groups in there, and I get that. I try to understand where everybody's coming from. They work hard to learn those routines. They want to stop and perform them. That is wonderful. We want them to do that. So they started the walking parade downtown, and it is for walkers. It is for bands. So we just encourage people to go to that parade. And that's wonderful that we now have two parades in our area instead of one.
Because a lot of the Gulf Coast cities, and New Orleans certainly in Mobile, they have a lot more than two parades.
That's right. That's right. And that detours, people from not only running out in the street, but a walker maybe getting behind their group and not realizing that there is an 18-wheeler right behind them, you know, that's in motion. And to make one of those trucks stop is very hard, especially just on a dime, you know. So not having the walkers, we did it for the first time last year, and it just really made everything so much smoother. I had less worries that somebody was going to get run over, and the parade went more fluent. And it did shorten the time of the parade, but that was a good thing because the city gets in there to clean up, and before nightfall, all the streets are clear.
And you'd never know that there was a parade.
Right, and we're not getting beat up because, you know, little Miss Jones that's 80 years old is trying to get home, or she's trying to get to church, or she's, you know. So we try to think of everybody. Can we make everybody happy? Absolutely not, but that's with everything in life. So we just do the best we can. The parade will be on the 7th this year, and it will be at 10 o'clock.
We're going to fill in some more blanks about what to expect if you're going to the 15th annual Kairos Parade in downtown Hattiesburg. We got the little Mardi Gras music.
Let the good times roll in the bird.
Yes, we'll have more with Melissa Socher, Shop Local Mississippi, when we return in just a moment.
This is Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Continuing to talk about the 15th annual Kairos Mardi Gras Parade, which will make its way down Hardy Street and around the Southern Miss campus on Saturday, February 7th. You want to make sure that you write that date down, the 7th of February. It's going to start at 10 a.m. And Melissa, I would think maybe if you're this family-friendly event, you'd want to start with maybe a family breakfast at any one of the different local breakfast places that avail themselves for parade goers.
Lately, we've just beefed it up with the breakfast in Hattiesburg. There's so many restaurants now that do an awesome breakfast. You got Vicious Biscuit. What other restaurants?
Midtowner.
Midtowner.
And of course, the good old IHOP has been around for
Southbound.
Southbound bagels, right?
And a lot of restaurants have started doing breakfast that didn't do breakfast before because there's such a breakfast community here.
And that generally happens with us older folks that eat dinner at their.
Why did you point at me when you said that?
No. I was really kind of thinking you're getting there, Melissa, but you got a long way to go before but. We tend to go to bed earlier, so we have the last
I'm
meal
there.
Of the evening at 5 o'clock.
I'm there, so if my children will let me go to bed early.
So we do tend, us older folks, we do tend to get up early and want to get going, but that's a perfect way. Now, registration forms for people that want to make sure that their float is in this year's parade.
Right, so we have the same rules every year. Most people, you can ask somebody, what do they require? Nothing's changed.
Okay.
This year from last year, we will literally take the registration form from last year and the year before and just change the date. We do not have a theme every year. A lot of people ask about that. Why don't you have a theme every year? Because a lot of people use their floats year after year, and it's cost effective and easier for them to be able to put up those decorations, bring them back out, add to them. So we just stick to that Mardi Gras theme every year. Will we always do that? I can't promise that. We might get back into the themes. We did the themes in the beginning. It's just hard for everybody to go out, and decorations are so expensive when you're talking about covering a 40 by 18 float. It is very expensive.
And the other things that I think that people need to remember is that when things are thrown from the floats, they can't, if you're not careful, you're going to take some beads across the head. which when they're being flung from 20
I've
feet away.
I've considered wearing a helmet every year, but my kids were like, Mom, you're not doing that. Even though I've tried on their football helmet, and I was like, this is because my own kids will hit me in the head. I choose to walk every year. I've rode a float 1 year, and it just was not the same. I want to be down there with those children. I want to touch their little faces along the way and talk to them and be able to hand them beads. The city does provide a full route of barricades now. Again, just like every year, we beg everybody to stay behind those barricades. We've pleaded with our float riders to throw far, you know, make it to those people. And I know my kids could, they usually throw over the crowd sometimes, you know, they've got good arms.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids are like that.
But you know, there's always those party poopers that'll say, well, if people are getting hit with beads and stuff, then they just shouldn't be throwing stuff. Wrapped candy can also hurt.
No, you're going to come, you need to pay attention.
That's exactly what I'm going to say. Look, this is a free event. Nobody's holding a gun to your head saying you have to go to the parade. If it's that big of a deal to you, stay home, because people who want to have fun don't want your negative Nelly energy anyway.
That's right. That's so. Right. And listen, pick up a king cake before the parade so that the kids don't get hungry. Set up a little tailgate. Nobody's stopping you from doing that. You know, along the route, get there early. Come eat breakfast. Grab a king cake from Loblolly. From the Keys Superstore, we have the Randazzo's again this year. From Jody's Bakery. All of those king cakes are absolutely wonderful. Each one is different in its own way. Decide which one you like the best and pick one up before the parade. And those should start circulating in about a week. I think Loblolly's gearing up for their king cakes.
Oh, see, that's another negative Nelly thing. I don't like king cakes because if I bite in there and bite the baby, then it could chip my teeth. I'm going, good grief.
You can't make everybody happy. No. So they stopped doing the babies for a while. They put the babies in a little Ziploc, like on top of the cake. And then you had people complain because the baby wasn't in the cake.
Yeah.
So, again, you can't make everybody happy. But, hey, we're going to do it every year. We're going to keep pushing forward. And that's the only way that it can go on.
The website, where can people get all the information, including the parade route?
We don't do a website anymore because it was something that we had to keep up,
right,
you know, pretty much all year. And we just use it like for a few weeks.
Right.
So we promise that registration forms will be available. And that's also the full listing of rules by January 16th. Go ahead and email, and I'll read out this email two or three times, HBURG, Mardi Gras Parade @yahoo.com. Let us know that you wish for a registration form. We'll get that to you, and you can go ahead and get all of your information back. Please do not send partial registration documents. We need a copy of the driver's license. We need the rules initialed. We need the registration form signed. We need the vehicle's insurance. All of those things included. Send back a complete registration. Please make it easier on us.
HBURG.
Mardi Gras Parade @yahoo.com.
Okay, HBURG Mardi Gras.
And we have a Facebook page. If you forget any of this, just hop on Hattiesburg Kairos Mardi Gras Parade or type in Hattiesburg Mardi Gras Parade and it'll come up.
We're looking forward to it. February 7th.
We're so excited.
Saturday, February 7th, the parade rolls at 10 o'clock. We'll see you next Tuesday, Melissa. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Shop Local Mississippi can be heard every Tuesday on Super Talk Mississippi stations like this one. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday night.